at least not as we know it today, but everything in its essential form. As you open the Bible to Genesis chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And you think about how significant that is. But then there's a problem or a conflict. The stuff is there, but it has yet to be given purpose. It has yet been, it's just there in the materials, the raw essence that exists of the universe until God begins to speak and He says, "Let there be light," and there is light. And God begins to bring everything together as He creates everything that we know and physically hold dear in our existence in this life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You see, the world really had no purpose until God brought it all together and gave it peace and harmony. Everything, at the end of every single day, what does the Bible say? It was good. And even if you consider the rest of the biblical narrative, besides how God created everything around us, and how He brought peace to the existence of the physical world, time, space, and matter, and everything else that we know and hold dear that we realize today until we realize that God does exist, we see that the oldest and the most basic, fundamental conflict that the Bible addresses is the God-human relationship. Think about this for a moment. From after the 6 days of creation, then the seventh, God rests. The rest of the Bible is dedicated to describing what happens between God and mankind. And how honestly, if we evaluate it, we fast forward to passages like Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is indeed death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ." No wonder we would read by inspiration from Matthew, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Think about that for a moment. Let it sink in. One of the basic fundamental characteristics, the essence of God and who He is, comes back to that He is indeed a peacemaker. The Bible would say it in another passage that He is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want things to be put into disarray and everything going left and right. He does not necessarily want conflicts to divide and tear people apart. He wants us to be in unison. He wants us to be in harmony and unity. He desires all of this for all of His creation, for that is how He made it. Peace is something that is surely made. And conflict is something that we are all too familiar with, are we not? It happened at the meeting. You know the one I'm talking about. The business meeting, or maybe the board meeting. We're talking and discussing about future plans of whatever might come, and that person rudely cuts you off as you're unveiling your part of the plan and how you are a vital component to the future of this company or organization. We're all too familiar with it. A loved one in our family says or does something unintentionally that crushes our hearts and souls. We're all too familiar with it. Someone that we look up to, whether it's in a leadership role or some other form or fashion, Maybe they're in politics. Someone that we thought that would be the savior of our country was not necessarily the savior of our country that we thought them to be. And because of who they were, maybe not necessarily their political policies, but maybe the moral life that they lived, we are crushed and conflict comes in. Or maybe it's something a little bit more personal, like with the church. The preacher preached on something that I didn't like. The elders did something. Brother, sister, so-and-so, she looked at me funny. He smells funny. Fill in the blank. From the most mundane to the utter ridiculous, are we not familiar with conflict? And as conflict exists there, consider that as the world began to form, conflict is first off one of the things that brings about peace. How many of us really desire peace when there is not conflict? Have you ever thought about it that way? Never is there a time in our lives that we desire peace more than when we are in the middle of a conflict, whether it's a personal relationship, a business relationship, Christians working together, our relationship with the world that is strained, our relationship between us and God, because we realize we're not as perfect as we would like to be. We all too familiarly relate to Paul and his sentiments in Romans 7. The very thing that I hate, that is what I do. We are all too familiar with conflict. And the reality is that peace is created, birth, if you will, in the very midst of conflict. Jesus talked about this in two different passages of Scripture for our consideration tonight. Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 18. I highly encourage you to keep a thumb or bookmark in either of those places of Scripture. But consider, first of all, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, and you'll notice the discussion begins to talk about verse 21, about how you've heard it said of old, you shall not murder. Well, Jesus gets to the root of the matter. Don't even be angry with your brother without a cause. And it becomes even more intriguing, because you go from murder to anger to confrontation. Look at that progression there. In verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Interesting. Flip over to Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, in dealing with a sinning brother, we find in verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. Now, we don't necessarily have it in both of these counts, this exact wording, but it's like this aha moment. You realize there's something that is wrong. I need peace. And what we're wanting to look at tonight is that very journey to peace. You realize a lot has happened right now in just those two verses. One, an evaluation has been made. There is a problem between me and this person. There is a problem between me and God. There is a problem between me and you, fill in the blank. And that problem between me and them, I have to weigh out in my mind, is this disrupting my peace? And is it disrupting my peace to the degree that I need to do something about it? See, the first step in the peace journey is I make the evaluation, is this worth confrontation? Have you ever thought about that? Tread this one lightly. Because wisdom would point out to us that this isn't that we would come to this point and say, no, it's not worth confrontation because I don't want to mess with it. That's the wrong motivation. What happens whenever we avoid confrontation or conflict just for the sake of we're afraid of it? Or because we don't want to mess with the consequences that may come as a result. Why? Because maybe you realize that in the peace process, you're not as squeaky clean in this matter as what you might think. You bring up your problem, they might bring up another problem. If that's our motivation, it's not the right one. The right one would come from if I evaluate and realize that the problem isn't them, it's me. And that there's going to be more harm than good to come of this relationship because I'm being maybe a little too sensitive. I'm being a little too immature. Or whatever you want to fit in there. In this brief moment in time on the peace journey, we have to figure out, is the conflict truly between me and them, or is it just between me and me? And that conflict, the only way peace comes out of it is if we allow it to be birthed. What happens during the birthing process? There's pain. There's friction. There's problems that get addressed, and that's what the Bible points to here. The peace process, the journey to peace, if we want it in our lives, if we want it in our congregations, if we want it between us and God, we must realize that peace sometimes only comes because we realize there is conflict. And in that process as well, not only is peace birthed from conflict, look there even more in the verses that are there, specifically 18 verse 15. I love what it says here as you look there, but you also see it hinted back in Matthew chapter 5 of that the purpose of you going to your brother is to be reconciled to him. What is the purpose in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15? If he hears you, you have gained a brother. You've gained a brother. Peacemaking focuses on the relationship, not the problem. Yes, problems need to be handled, but if it's at the expense of the relationship, the Bible is very clear that we need to treat others as we want to be treated. The Bible is very clear that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Bible is very clear that we should never become a stumbling block that sends someone straight stumbling into hell. And so when I look at this, and it's at the core of the relationship, why am I going for this confrontation? The evaluation's been made. There is no peace here. There is a conflict. And as a result, I must go to this person. I got to walk over here to Cody. Oh man, I got a problem with you. You know, in an ideal world, did you notice Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 are two different things? One, Matthew 18, I've got a problem with Cody. Matthew chapter 5, he's got a problem with me. Both of them say go. In an ideal world, what should happen? We meet in the middle.
I got a problem with
you. You came a quarter. Good job. Does that normally happen? Shake your head this way, no. Matter of fact, the journey of anyone making it any distance, it rarely happens. But the Bible charges us to make it happen. The Bible charges us that if we truly want peace in our lives, It's going to come from the fact that, why am I making this journey in the first place? Because Cody's my brother. And the idea of whatever he has done, the idea of the relationship that I have with my brother being severed, hurts me worse because he's my brother than the idea of the wrong in itself. Why did Jesus come to earth? To seek and save the lost. That's me and you. He came because of your very precious soul. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be what? Called children of God. Do you want to be called a child of God? We've got to broker peace. Whether I've offended Cody or he's offended me, on that road to reconciliation, the point of it is that I have to actually want this relationship to go well. Not, I started over here and I'm over here wringing my hands and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to tell that Cody a thing or two. I'm going to show him what he is wrong, and he better get on his knees and grovel if he wants me not to tell it to every single person whom I've already told. Oh yeah, there's the other part. Subtle. More elaborate in chapter 18, is it not? If I've got a problem, it's between me and Cody. Not me and everybody else. And I see that. Why? Why is that so important? How's Cody going to feel if he knows that I went and talked about everything about him behind his back to everyone but him? It's the same feeling that you get if you find out via Facebook a big important family matter before someone actually called you on the phone. Ever had that happen? Been there. Ever been guilty of it? Better believe it. There's someone that you forget that needs to be in the know. Well, if there's a problem between me and Cody, or between me and Tim, or me and Alan, or anyone, if it is worth the confrontation because there is no longer peace between us, for me to be a peacemaker and thus be called a son of God, I need to make sure they know what's going on. Here's another subtle thing. Notice in your Bible, the word sin or offense, what does that mean? One of the more literal meanings of the word sin is to miss the mark. You've probably heard that before, right? When we talk about sin, there's sins of offense, there's sins of omission, offense that I've been told to do something and I, or not to do something and I do it. Sins of omission, I'm told to do something and I don't do it. To miss the mark in a relationship may be something as simple as, I don't think what Cody, I've offended Cody. And honestly, I think it's ridiculous. But he's offended. What's happened there? The relationship's damaged. There's no longer peace. Even if Cody is offended, and I don't think I've done anything wrong, the whole point in me going and talking to my brother is there's a problem there, and we work it out. Perhaps in talking, he might realize just how silly he is. I mean, so what if I put my right shoe on first instead of my left? And we smile at that sort of thing, but that's how ridiculous sometimes it gets. But whatever it is, Cody might have grown up in a culture that to put your right shoe on first was an absolute insult. And I insulted my brother without him knowing. Is that relationship, is his whole soul valuable enough to try to broker peace with him? Shake your heads this way. Every single one of our souls is valuable enough to reach out, and even if I think it's ridiculous, I need to make sure that I broker that peace. Peace is about the relationships. I go to Him, and if He listens, I have gained my brother. Anybody ever had a broken bone? You know the marvelous thing about the human body? Is that when a bone breaks, everything that I've read about the human body is fantastic, but when the bone breaks or the skin is cut, the human body is so amazing, especially with the breaking of bones, when they fuse back together. That weld that is created between the previously broken bones is apparently stronger than any weld that man has ever come up with. God created that. You think about the skin whenever there's a cut that takes place and it heals itself. Yeah, there's a scab and the grossness that comes with that, but that spot that even leaves the scar is stronger than it was before. And the church is called the body of Christ. Now, there's a wound between me and Cody, between me and Alan, between me and Jerry. What happens if I gain my brother and we work through the problem? We create peace. It's like the fusing of that bone together, stronger than it was before. It's like the tissue on your skin that fuses itself back together and now it is stronger than it is before. Because we work through it, we persevere through it, because Jerry's soul is worth it. Because Cody's soul is worth it. Because every soul on God's green earth is worth it. And that is part of the process. The very process that God went through with us. To where if we do this, we shall be called children of God. The other thing to note that we may not typically think of when it comes to these two passages of Scripture is that peace is not something that happens accidentally. You'll notice, especially in chapter 18 of Matthew, that it is intentionally strategic. Hinted at this a few moments ago, but I don't go to Cody, I don't go to Jerry with the intention of I'm going to prove myself right and him wrong. I'm going to submit him into repentance. That's not the attitude. I'm not going to peer pressure him into conforming by gossiping with my whole posse of people before I go and talk. And say, well, brother, I've noticed this about you and your classes and how you teach. I've noticed that sometimes whenever you talk to people, you talk down to them, and I've talked about it with a few people, and there's people that agree with me. When the problem is really between who? You and them. Look at the strategicness that is given here in these verses. Verse 16. But if he will not hear you, take one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Stop right there. He doesn't say, go grab your two best friends. Now, I won't point out two examples, because I don't want you thinking anyone who is specifically my best friend or not. But would it be appropriate for me to go and take my best buddy to Dr. Jerry, Tim, Alan, or Cody, to establish every word when it's known we golf together? We spend once a week in each other's house. See the conflict of interest that exists there? No, it says grab two or three people that they may be witnesses. This isn't a time to gang up on them. This is a time for someone to stand there. And I know some people point out that, well, they need to serve as maybe a referee. They're witnesses. Their whole purpose is to observe, how am I treating Cody, and what am I saying? And how is Cody treating me, and what is he saying? And if they can foster and create peace in that scenario, that's what their purpose is supposed to be. But if that doesn't work, it goes on to continue. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be like a heathen or a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you not see the strategic value and intention behind peacemaking? It's not something that's going to happen by me just standing there and doing nothing. And this peacemaking is said that I will be blessed and called a child of God. Why? Because the application goes not just in the Christian life between brothers and sisters in Christ, but you can do the research for yourselves if you want me to point in the articles. You can research conflict resolution in the business world and the world that is out there. You know what the interesting thing is? Each of these points that are found in Scripture are the things that they say are most successful, that if you are in a business environment, you're working employee-employer relationship, that following this strategic plan and showing honor and having the purpose of working towards a common goal, that goal being peace, it works. It shows the best results. And if we practice it as God's people in business, in life, in our homes, then we too can be called as blessed in Matthew 5, children of God. The reason being is what we find here in Scripture so many times is that this journey of peace requires so many different things along the way, and we are out of time to discuss those. But notice the implication that is there. We're talking about the relationship. That means Cody and I are keeping ourselves what? Accountable. This isn't a contest between me and Jerry on who's right and who's wrong. It's a matter of whether we're heading in the right direction to heaven. And so it's about accountability, that if I see that his relationship is strained between him and God, I'm going to have that concern to talk to him about it. And if that relationship is strained between me and him, I'm going to have that concern to make sure we're keeping each other accountable and that our own relationship is reconciled and brought back together stronger than before to be the greatest witness of all, that even though we have struggled and gone through pain, we too are heaven bound. Even Paul and Mark seems mended things that were so terrible between them that we read about in the New Testament. And we'll end with this example. If you look at Acts chapter 15, you find that Paul suggests to Barnabas, let's go on our second missionary journey. Let's revisit those congregations that we've visited before. Barnabas is like, great, that's awesome. Let's take Mark. No. Mark abandoned us last time. He's not worthy to go. And the Bible says there was such a sharp contention between the two of them that they parted ways. Barnabas with Mark, Paul with Silas to go on the next missionary journeys. It's not until 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we find Paul writes, and bring Mark to me, for he is profitable for the ministry. Years have taken place between then and now. But even a contention and a strife that was so strong that people had to part ways, peacemaking is still able to happen among God's people through accountability and reconciliation. That is what God encourages us to do amongst each other because He's already done it for us. You may be in a terrible spot tonight between you and God. You may know that you have lied, cheated. You may have hurt others intentionally or unintentionally. You have driven a wedge between you, your loved ones, you, your enemies, but most importantly, between you and your God. And your God cries out to you tonight, I'm ready to make peace. Why don't you come home? I've made everything ready through Jesus. You remember Him, my Son. He died on the cross that you might live. If you need to have peace in your life, why don't you come to Jesus while we stand and while we sing this song?